You're listening to The Wave South End, your new go-to local mental health and wellbeing podcast. My name's Tricia and I'm going to be the host for today's episode of The Wave. How are you doing, Rachel?
Let's do it. I'm doing okay today. I think I came out in the wrong clothes. It's been sunny all weekend and I've been dressed in my summer gear and then it's freezing today. But other than that, I am good. Thank you. Good. And thanks for having me on your podcast.
It'll be great.
I'm nervous but excited. Good nerves.
So, as you may or may not be aware, next week is Loneliness Week. That's organised by the Marmalade Trust. And this episode is going to be the first of two dealing with the issues around loneliness and some of that context around it and some of the subtleties that we could just explore and dip into. But if you wouldn't mind, Rachel Rooks, just introducing yourself, telling us a bit about what you do.
Sure. So my name is Rachel, and I am a project manager at SAVS, which stands for Southend Association of Voluntary Services. We are a charity in Southend that the core of what we do is supporting other charities in Southend. So we help people with funding, we help people with charity status, but we're also a hub for the community, a hub of information really. So we quite often get calls and inquiries from the public asking if we know, I don't know, what support groups are out there for certain groups of people. We might be asked about food bank vouchers. We could be asked about advice on debt. So we're a little bit like the CAB, and we work quite often with the CAB, but we're not. We don't offer legal advice. We're offering community advice on what's going on in and around Southend. My job at SAVS is I run a project called Supported Volunteering, and I support people who have experienced mental ill health into volunteering roles. That's my main role at SAVS. That's what I do.
Brilliant. So if we could start just thinking about that concept of loneliness, which I think is quite difficult. There's a lot of strands to it.
Yeah.
And what can cause people to feel lonely?
I've been thinking about it all morning, chatting about it all morning. I think, and I'm no expert on loneliness, I know people, think I'm pretty decent with people. So I asked that question this morning to a group that I was supporting, and there were so many different points of view. My personal view on what loneliness is, I think has something to do with being disconnected. So I think if you are not connected with other human beings, there could be a sense of loneliness. And of course, there's a difference between loneliness and being alone. Some people might choose to be alone and are very comfortable with being alone. But loneliness feels like it's something more that is probably quite damaging for people's mental health. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, like you say, I've been thinking about this a lot really, and it's about that relationship and that need for relationships and connections with people. And I know I moved down here 20 years ago from Yorkshire, where you made with friends with people in the bus stop, you know, you talked to anybody, came down here, knew one person and that was it, and found it incredibly difficult to get to know people and start making those connections, because there wasn't just that ease of chatting to someone in the street, because everybody would look at you and go, what, who are you, why are you talking to me? And if you don't know anybody, to get into those friendship groups was really, really tricky. I can remember going and sitting in the park reading just to try and start a conversation with somebody. And I did find that that had a massive impact on my mental health. But then gradually, you know, you made one friend, make another friend, you start to get to know a little group of people, and it builds. But I am very aware of that. If somebody just moves down here, it's quite a... because you've come from one life into a context that could be totally different, and try and sort of make those connections with people, just even if it's just having a coffee.
I think making those connections is one of the hardest parts, isn't it? Because how do you go about making a connection? When we're children, we just automatically are playing and, you know, doing whatever kids
do. Dinosaurs.
Exactly. Yeah, as simple as that. It's as simple as that. As we get older, things get in the way. And how difficult is it to make friends with people as adults at our age now? You know, I want to be your friend. Or it's not easy. I kind of wonder, you know, like loneliness can come from so many different places, can't it? It could be someone that's had a bereavement. It could be someone who has moved, as you said. It could be someone who has stepped away from their family for whatever reasons. And I wonder how you get out of loneliness. I mean, you hear of lots of different things that you can do that help improve your mental well-being, but does that step you out of loneliness? As I said at the beginning, I was speaking with my support group that I meet with regularly, and I asked them what it was for them, and one person said it was being on their own. So they didn't feel lonely if they had others around them. And that had nothing to do with being alone, choosing to be alone or loneliness. Someone else said it's about not having anybody to talk to when things are difficult. So lots of different kind of points of view on what loneliness is and how it affects us.
Yeah, and I think there's also that mental disconnection that you can almost perceive yourself.
Yeah.
You know, where you might be in a crowd and there might be people, you might be with your friends, but you can kind of sometimes just mentally disconnect if you're not in a great place.
Yeah.
Which is then, I don't mean self-imposed like that. It is so complicated.
I think it probably takes some confidence to come out of loneliness, because I would imagine you can feel very trapped within your loneliness, as though there's no getting out of that hole that you're in. If you imagine someone being in a hole with kind of mud sides, and the more you're trying to scrabble out of that hole, the more the mud is falling down on you, and possibly loneliness might feel a little bit like that, and you've got to sit in that hole with that loneliness. And that's loneliness in itself, isn't it? I mean, that sounds terribly sad. And how do we support people that are lonely? How do we help someone? Is it just having that connection with another human being? Does that help with loneliness?
Yeah. I know within the college and within the courses that sort of we run within our community learning, there is a section of our learners that do come for that support. That I know during COVID as well, a lot of people were saying, you know, this is the only support network I've got.
Yes.
You know, if somebody has a partner, you know, a life partner that dies, and it's kind of trying to build up that courage, motivation to then come to a class that could create a support network. But not every class is going to be like that. Not every person is going to need that.
That's right. And that's only one part of the week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of maybe disconnecting from that loneliness that person is feeling. The pandemic was really interesting, wasn't it? Because it highlighted to the whole world loneliness and feeling isolated. From Sav's point of view, how we supported people during that pandemic time was everything was online. It was Facebook Messenger, it was texting, it was phone calls, and it was Zoom meetings, just like it was for everybody else. But just having maybe someone phone once a week or message a couple of times a week was enough for people to say, well, I was lonely, I was at home on my own, it was just me, but I knew that there was something out there that I could connect to and be a part of, and sometimes it was just a phone call once a week.
Yeah, and I think as well, that connecting with nature and going for a walk, and people really saw those benefits to mental health of being outside, because when we could only do that 1 hour thing, that was hideous.
That just seems a long time ago, right? But it really wasn't. I mean, once things opened up, I sort of had this idea that, you know, we'd come out of lockdown and the world would re-blossom and it would, it would be something different. And I knew that there would be a wave of people whose mental health would have declined over that time. But I don't even know if we've seen the peak of it yet in mental health.
And I think, you know, because it's so linked with your physical health as well. And I had long COVID and really struggled. And it's still coming back. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And while you've got that physical health left over, you know, and people are still getting it and struggling and still seeking their medication and stuff like that, that is going to impact on your mental health, you know. So, yeah, the context that we saw COVID in there is very different out to how it is now, but I think it's still very valuable as a learning point.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Can I tell you a little bit about the project that I work on, and then I can maybe put some things in context about how people have come out of the pandemic and how I'm hearing about loneliness and things like that. Is that right? So I run a project called Supportive Volunteering, as I mentioned, we support people who've experienced mental ill health into volunteering. And that could be someone with or without a diagnosis. So without a diagnosis, it could be someone saying, hey, I really want to get into volunteering because I'm feeling lonely and I want to make new friends. Or it could be someone who's had a bereavement and is really struggling and they've seen volunteering as a stepping stone to something else or to connecting with people. One of the questions that we ask when people come and see us, so we initially meet people and then I work with them to find out what their skills are, what they're good at, what they're not so good at, what they like, what they don't like, and then I match them up with a volunteering role. And rather than it just being a very quick process, we do it over a number of sessions, and it's really based on what that person's needs are. So they're telling me, hey, let's take it nice and slowly. I'm feeling really wobbly about volunteering. Or they might say, no, I'm ready. You know, let's do this. I want to do it as quick as possible. I want to be volunteering in the next few weeks. So I take it at their own pace. But one of the questions I ask people is the reasons why they want to volunteer. What are your goals around volunteering? And very often, I'd say probably over 70% of people are saying, because I want to meet new people. I feel very lonely. This might be the only thing I'm going to do this week, is go to volunteering. So it's out there. It's there all the time. And people are looking for different ways to kind of get themselves out of that. Mm-hmm. Volunteering is one of them, obviously. And that's what I promote, to help reduce isolation. And
giving back as well. Listen, it's really valuable, isn't it?
It feels so good when you help someone, in whatever capacity that is. I guess we probably wouldn't be in the jobs we're in if we didn't enjoy helping people. And volunteering does just that. It can really help people feel better about themselves for helping others.
And it's a little bit addictive, isn't it? Because you do it once and then you go, let's do something again.
Of course.
Oh, let's do it again and again.
Yeah, there's all sorts of benefits in volunteering, and it helps everyone in the community. There's not anybody it's not helping, you know, in whatever capacity that volunteering is. But again, you know, volunteering is about connecting people together, and again, that can help people with their loneliness and their isolation. So I'm a big fan of volunteering. Go out there and volunteer.
It's a good job. You've got the job.
Should I tell you about some of the other projects at SAVS? So, as I mentioned, SAVS is a charity, but under the umbrella of SAVS, we have different projects that are managed by SAVS. Supportive Volunteering is one of them, and Folk Like Us is another project that we run. They specifically work with people that are feeling isolated and lonely. It's an over-55s project, which, blimey, I'll be able to go to it in a few years' time. It used to be over-65s, then they reduced the age to 55. after the pandemic, actually, or during the pandemic, because there were lots of people that were very lonely and saying, I don't know what to do.
You know, speaking from my point of view, kids go off to uni and you've had a house full and then it's like, what?
Empty. It's empty. You're left on your own. Folk like us, they run a daily hub at SAVS between 10 and 2, and it is open to over 55s who are part of the project. And it is just about social connection. You can go there, you can have a cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit and an atter. There's always a staff member there. And what's interesting is we've set up this hub. It's a social space. People can come and just talk about anything they like, cats, psychics, EastEnders, it doesn't matter what, nothing's off the table. But what the staff members are really doing are they are listening to people's conversations and hearing when people are saying, oh, this is the only thing I've done this week. You're the first person I've spoken to in the last 3 weeks. Or they're listening for, I don't know, if someone's talking about they're in debt. Or they're looking for the kind of underlying things that can come out in a normal conversation. And the staff are there to support. So that's what Folk Like Us does. They help people that might be feeling lonely and isolated.
And I think having a member of staff there is really valuable, isn't it? Because I always think it's that opener.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when I'm doing safeguarding work and we're looking at signposting people, just giving people that opening phrase to use.
Yeah.
Can be really tricky.
Yes.
To stand in there going, what do I say? What do I say? Do I talk about the weather?
I mean, listen, I can chat for England, especially when I've had a coffee, like now. I can chit-chat. I can talk to anybody at the bus stop, anyone in a shop queue. I don't always want to, but I do. But not everyone can do that. Mm. For some people, saying hello and starting that opening conversation can be really, really difficult.
When I got a dog, I really struggled. I can be really socially awkward sometimes. And I couldn't do that dog chat.
Yeah.
And I was with my friend and she was like, I was going, I need something to say, you know, just some generic phrase that'll open it and get over that. So I had a, oh, hasn't your dog got a waggy tail?
Yeah, we'll give that to the world, to the community South End. Anybody who's got a dog, not sure what to say, that is the one. I'm going
to
ask you, if you were feeling lonely, what would you do?
I'd go for a walk. I'm really hot on nature heels. Get out into nature.
Yeah. And would you do that on your own?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be fine with that, but I'm fine at pestering my friends. I'm the one that goes, come on, we need to catch up. I haven't seen you. You know, I do recognise that I need that. Sometimes my friends don't need it and go, no, don't worry.
Yeah.
I'll see you in a week or so.
Yeah. And that is exactly it, isn't it? Mm. So if you have the courage, confidence, call it whatever you like, to be able to get on the phone to someone or a couple of people and say, come on, let's go and walk the dog, then you're going to be okay. You're going to be able to connect with people.
But so it's those people
that can't do that. It's those people that can't pick up the phone, even to a service, you know.
Put yourself out there. It's difficult because, you know, the knockback can be really difficult.
Yeah, that fear of rejection and the anxiety around, well, what will happen? What will it mean?
If they say no, it must mean they hate me.
It could just escalate, right? It can just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's why it's important to have services available that will very gently maybe even disguise what they're doing and encourage people to connect with one another. Even if in that hub, which I was talking about with the Folk Like Us project, sometimes you might see a person that will come in once a week and they might sit on the couch and the only things that they're saying are hello, tea, one sugar. Mm. See you later, see you next week. Now, we hope that's enough that they are with other people, listening to their conversations. You don't have to be a big talker, you know, be the one who's like, yay, you know, me, and chat, mm-hmm. which is basically me. You could, you know, so long as you're around other people, I think that can help with loneliness.
Yeah. And is there any restrictions as to who you've got in there, just that over 55?
The over 55s, and you, so again, you know, you'd sign up to the project, so you'd be assigned a team leader who works on the project. They will invite you to come to the hub if you're housebound. And you are only staying indoors for whatever reason, they will come and visit you in your home. And they do several kind of social groups as well that you can get involved with if the hub is not your thing. Because, again, walking into a hub full of people chatting, that can be really, you know, intimidating for certain people.
Yeah, I know we do quite a lot of work with Welcome to the UK with our sort of non-English speakers, the asylum seekers, the refugees, and that has been really needed. So actually, if there's some older refugees, asylum seekers, I could push them to what and push them. Suggest.
Go on, off you go.
Get over there.
Southend is, I'm very proud of Southend because we are a great city for supporting people, for having services, for mental health in particular. I mean, you've got some real experts in mental health across Southend and wellbeing. We've got so many services. And like I said right at the beginning, Southend is a one-stop shop for where do I go for.
And I think the website is brilliant.
Oh, thanks.
One Southend is, it's brilliant. I'm always pushing that.
Yeah,
and I know for the Ukrainians, that was amazing to be able to get everything on there. Yeah. It was a real key point.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, a pivotal communication point. Really.
Yeah. And I think, again, you know, in whatever way you communicate, it doesn't have to be people having that chat when it comes to loneliness. It's just even connecting online, isn't it? Mm. Knowing what to do. I don't know. Loneliness is, I mean, I feel like we could go off into the stratosphere talking about it because it just impacts everybody at all different times. And that's the thing about loneliness. It's not static, is it? You're not lonely and then you're lonely for 3 months and then you're not. Do you know what I mean? I could be feeling lonely.
You could just have a baby and then you're... Even though maybe you're going to the antenatal and all that, you're still needing that connection that you're looking for. And you don't always find it first time and you've got to keep trying.
That's right. And even in a moment throughout the day, I know that I can have a feeling of loneliness. So if I think about a certain thing, I don't know, maybe it might be like a family situation or something like that, I could feel lonely for 2 minutes while I'm thinking, I haven't got anyone I can talk to about that. I don't know what I'm going to do about that situation. I feel really lonely in this because who's going to help me with this? And that can pass. It's not static. Yeah. Loneliness can be that big hole, but it can also be just for a couple of minutes. You know, it can kind of come and go. Again, depending on if you communicate. And having a job keeps you connected, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that structure. And
I
find I'm an absolute nightmare over the summer. Yeah. Everybody in my house is like going, you need to get back to work, because like the little things have suddenly become really big because I need something else to think about.
I googled what loneliness was today because I was like, well, let's just see what it is. Psychology Today, this was their line, which I thought was really interesting. Loneliness, a state of distress or discomfort that results when one perceives a gap in their desire for social connection and actual experiences. State of distress or discomfort.
And also it's that perceived gap of connection, because somebody said to me, you know, you're on your own. Does that bother you? I was like, no.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's right.
But then another day,
You
might be just like, actually, I've not spoken to anybody for...
Yeah. And we can all perceive if someone is... Mm. We can make assumptions around loneliness. Going back to what I said about, I ask people, hey, you know, are you looking to volunteer to help reduce your isolation? And no, I'm not lonely. I feel depressed, but I'm not lonely. And it's easy to make assumptions that, you know, if you have a mental illness or a mental health condition, that you're going to be lonely. That's not always the case. That's what I've found.
So, thank you ever so much, Rachel.
You're welcome.
It's been an absolute pleasure. So, if you haven't already, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube at the Wave South End. Feel free to leave a message. Let us know what you think. Anybody got any solutions for the loneliness or things that they want to signpost would be really great. And the next episode, we're going to be talking to Amanda from SVP to look at her experience of loneliness and social isolation. Thank you very much.